third Saturday in October, and not a ton to get excited about, but still, weather's
How are you
be
doing over there?
I'm doing terrible. I told you, this was going to be a rough week. I'm just ready for South Carolina. Give me some fried chicken. Might eat chicken all day next week in honor of the Gamecocks.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, yeah, it's just, you know, and Tennessee did so. That's why I didn't want to talk about the Alabama game for as long as I could this week.
Yeah, you really held off there.
Yeah, Tennessee really did some great things against Mississippi State. They did some great things. They said, we're going to run the ball. We're going to let y'all know that we're running the ball. And guess what? You're not going to be able to stop us. And I'm glad that Will pointed that out again because, you know, you get down in this Alabama despair and you can't remember sort of the sunny spots. But Tennessee, man, there's so many positives. I'm just ready to resume that conversation starting Monday.
Okay. Monday we will talk Tennessee, South Carolina. Today, tomorrow, Tennessee, Alabama, Heather.
My throat's feeling a little sore.
Getting fired up here at Cheers at Chodo, where we are this afternoon.
I'm going to pull a Dan Hood and Squatober killed me.
Dan's going to be ready to go. We'll get our annual story of Dante Hightower and Julio Jones just blowing him up on punt block.
Yeah.
So look forward to that story tomorrow on Saturday Sports Talk.
Dante Hightower, a mid-state kid. Nashville, right?
Yeah, he's a good player.
Yeah.
Still playing. Patriots.
Yeah. On the number one team in the NFL.
Yep, helping them win Super Bowls.
So, again, it's just getting through tomorrow, celebrating accordingly. We haven't given people the brunch drink specials. You might need some of those tomorrow.
Hey.
The Cheers Mimosa, the Blood Orange Mimosa, the Cheers Bloody Mary, the Twisted Sea Breeze, Morning Mule. You can sample all of those.
Yep, right here. Cheers at Chodo, right on the water. Awesome spot. Easy to access right off Chodo Road. Cheers at Chodo, open year-round brunch starting up tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Yeah, and you can do everything. I mean, you can live like a normal Saturday tomorrow. It's almost like having a bye, and then when you get ready to kind of snuggle in on the couch, the kids are going to bed, you're ready to watch some football. So I'm excited. I might have to have a coffee. I'm thinking about having a coffee tomorrow at like 5 p.m. because that should help me.
Oh, a 9 p.m. start. Not great for Josh. 9 p.m. is when we're starting to wrap this bad boy up for the day.
Yeah. If I'm not out of Gus's room by like 9:05 and him just like, come on, go to sleep, I start kind of freaking out a little bit.
Yeah, I've been going to bed before Owen here recently. 656-9900.
I'm sure Kelly appreciates that.
That's right. Yeah. It's calling it a day. You got to get the beauty rest. Need extra. We'll be here until 3 o'clock. That's when Sports Talk will take over. We've been talking Tennessee and Alabama and the state of the Vols football program, what happened this past Saturday, how the Vols can build on that moving forward. Let's get Chris's call on Sports 180. Chris, your thoughts this week on Tennessee and where things are moving forward.
Well, a couple of things to start with. I live down in Vanor in Rarity Bay. Midnight is 8 o'clock, so we feel you, Josh. The other thing, follow up on the Yankees at the tail end of your other conversation, the big lady's tuning her vocals because it's over tonight.
Yeah, she might be singing. Yeah.
Yeah, more important now, let's go to Tennessee in football. You know, I went to my first game at 5 years old. That was all of 56 years ago. I've been following Tennessee football for a long time. The main thing for Tennessee to begin to be successful again is they got to get physical. They turned into a finesse team under Butch Jones. You didn't see the old-style physical play. That doesn't work in the Southeast. That might work in some of these other divisions up north, but that doesn't carry over down here. They need to recruit better in the South and get players that are conditioned for that type of play because they get it in high school, whereas some of these Jersey boys and whatnot, they're not familiar with it, and they can't really take it. So more physical football. Even in the games back in the over the years that Tennessee didn't win, they always played physical football. And as you said, smash mouth, run the ball. But you can't be predictable. If you're predictable against Alabama, it'll be 28-0 again. You got to mix it up, do the unexpected, and keep them off balance. That's the only way that's the way Tennessee did it for years, but they had that smash mouth ability. Both offense and defense. And you watch some of these Tennessee guys now, they're undersized, and they really don't know how to tackle. Form tackling is not out there, so they got to work on that too. And I think Pruitt will get that corrected if we stay patient and give him some time. Enjoy your show. Thanks, guys, and I'll hang up and let you go with it.
Chris, we appreciate the call. Thank you. And they've worked. I think they've gotten better at being more physical up front.
Yeah.
But, you know, the old playing through the whistle. There have been a couple of penalties where Jeremy Pruitt said, I'll back my guys here on this because of, you know, the mindset that I think he's trying to change within players. You need more of that, and obviously Tennessee is not where it wants to be, but I think Tennessee's in a better place than it was 6 weeks ago from that standpoint.
Yeah, and again, you know, it goes back to the old adage, we won't say who told you that, but the perception of somebody's coaching ability can drastically change when you're coaching up an Albert Haynesworth or Will Overstreet versus the Sullins boys, you know, and bless their hearts, two walk-ons that did an amazing job for Tennessee back in the early 2010s. But, yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. Jeremy Pruitt still has to upgrade this roster, and I think by default you will see a more physical play. Wasn't it it was Karat Garland, right, that went through the whistle and maybe had a flag, and Jeremy Pruitt was like, no, we won't count that one. Was it Karat or?
Well, K'Ron Calvert's who was coming to mind for me.
Yeah, I think that's who it is. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, you're right. So Rick Barnes probably better basketball coach if he's coaching Jordan Bone versus coaching Josh Ward, right?
Absolutely. So, again, we'll see that these guys, the best thing about it, and the one thing that Butch just took a long time to realize, it's just different in the SEC. You have to pay attention to the offensive and defensive lines. Derek Dooley didn't get it, and he had been in the SEC, which is so bizarre. But Jeremy Pruitt gets it. It's just, is he going to be able to update and upgrade the talent that they have right now and then keep developing it?
Talent is ultimately going to be what determines whether Tennessee can compete with Alabama, Georgia, Florida, and other high-level programs in the SEC in the future. If that's going to happen, you just have to have more really good football players. Heart and effort and all that. Of course, it matters. But you want heart and effort from the most talented players as well.
Yeah, you want, again, you want Eric Berry.
Which Jeremy Pruitt knows. I'm not saying anything that he doesn't believe in
or have
already said.
Yeah, they're going after those guys. So they know what it takes, and they're trying to achieve that. And, oh, we're getting goodies here. Man,
yeah, how about this?
Thanks, Frankie. Big Jeremy Pruitt fan right there.
There you go.
He loves the Vols. Frank loves the Vols. There's one thing about him.
Yeah. Little more optimistic than Heather's been this afternoon.
Yeah. He's being a smart aleck now.
Wild crowd out here today. Choose
it is. Yeah. This is fun. Imagine what brunch is going to be like tomorrow.
Be rocking and rolling.
10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And don't forget, Cheers at Choto, open every day. So you know how some days we'll have a really nice day in November, December, where it's like inexplicably in the 60s or low 70s, guess what? Cheers at Choto is going to be open so people can come and have a great time, have a great meal.
Yeah, so a little Dripping Springs mix here for you.
Yeah.
Get your day rolling.
They're giving away like the ultimate tailgate setup too. Today and tomorrow you can register for the Dripping Springs ultimate tailgate setup. Yeah. And I mean, it's ultimate. This is probably going to get you through a couple of tailgates.
All right, update from Joel's question at the end of the 12 o'clock hour.
Okay.
Does Tennessee cover the 34.5? You weren't very optimistic at the end of the 12 o'clock hour, an hour and a half passed.
No, I'm standing by my answer. I'm only going to answer the question once, and whatever I said in the face-off is what I'm sticking with.
Yeah. End of the sports source, I've got plus 39 on Chucky, Cena, Casino. Feeling
good
about
that. I would take 39.
One. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
The Molly McGrath report made me less optimistic about that number.
Yeah, because they're going to try and go out and prove.
The report being that a couple of Tennessee players said, I don't know that this Alabama team is winning a national championship.
That's a paraphrase. Yeah, you can be talking about it around the complex. Just don't say that in public.
Because, by the way, I don't disagree with that. I have real questions about Alabama's defense in terms of trying to win a national title. Now, can it? They've got Tua in those wide receivers. They might be able to score 70 on anybody. So, can they? Yeah, absolutely. But it's going to be tough.
Yeah, absolutely. The further they get down on their depth chart, I mean, again, they are mortal, you know, even though they are replacing five-star veterans with five-star underclassmen. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. I don't think you had them in your title game, right? You had Georgia?
I did not have Alabama there. I had Georgia's the SEC representative, the only SEC team in the playoff, and that is in doubt right now. It's actually looking kind of dumb. No,
I mean, they won the game. They just didn't win, you know. They were taking care of business and then turning it over.
Yeah, that is the thing. Georgia kind of won the game last week. It just didn't have more points than South Carolina, which is really the ultimate determination.
Yeah, they won the stat sheet. Yeah. They won the stat sheet.
Yeah, games aren't played in box scores, though.
No, they're not.
They're just explained away. We'll come back. Another 45 minutes of Sports 180. Fat Jack with some numbers to pay attention to at 2:30. We are with you until 3 o'clock at Cheers at Chodo. Having a great time this afternoon on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back on Sports 180, Fat Jack in 10 minutes. We'll talk football games coming up this weekend that he'll be paying attention to, and you might want to as well. We are with you until 3 o'clock. Cheers at Chodo, talking Tennessee and Alabama coming up tomorrow night as Heather's optimism level is growing as the afternoon goes along.
Yeah, you know, again, I'm going to have a great time. I'm going to have a great Saturday tomorrow, already planning a little trip to the pumpkin patch around some Saturday Sports Talk 2.0 action with you and Dan Hood, so I'm excited about that. And I'm going to make sure the kids go to bed early, bottle of wine, watch the Vols. We'll see what happens. I can't guarantee, especially if it gets out of hand early, I can't guarantee that I'm going to watch all of it in real time, but I will watch all of it, be ready on Monday.
Joel Silverberg and Eric Kane will start things out tomorrow at 8 a.m., so we will go all the way from 8 a.m. until Vol Network coverage wrapping up. 2 a.m. style, maybe?
Yeah.
With the Tennessee football game late kick, 9 o'clock Eastern time tomorrow, with Vol Network coverage beginning at 7:30 tomorrow night.
Shout out to all of our compadres, the traveling media peeps that don't get to, you know, just go to sleep on a bus or get on a chartered flight after the game. So shout out to you, David Ubbin. Keep on writing. But also, I want to ask Joel a question here. Because I know, Josh, you watch everything. You take the emotion out of it. It's all business for you. Joel, do you also copy that same way of viewing the Vols, or do you still have some of an emotional attachment like I do?
I want them to do well, but it probably doesn't affect me as much emotionally when they lose. I guess I'm just kind of at that point. And I grew up here in the 90s when Tennessee was really good. And there was obviously the national championship, but there were a lot of like really close calls that were really disappointing for Tennessee. So it was probably much more emotional as a kid, not so much anymore.
Joel and Eric, tomorrow, 8 a.m., kicking things off. Long day tomorrow, getting ready for Tennessee and Alabama. Having a good time this afternoon. Cheers at Chodo. Remember, you can follow them on Facebook when they have giveaways, they have events going on. They'll let you know. Facebook, follow them there. Cheers at Chodo, which we shared on our Facebook page. Follow us at Sports 180. Let's get Phil's call on Sports 180. Phil, thanks for hanging on with us. Thoughts on Tennessee and Alabama getting ready to play tomorrow night.
Hey, boss. Well, here's my deal. So, you know, before all the boo birds start up after the about 30 or 40 point, you know, they hang that many points on us. You know, my thought is, they hung Ed Orgeron out to dry at Ole Miss, okay? How much do you think Ole Miss would give to have Ed Orgeron 3 or 4 or 5 years later now down the line with what he's doing at LSU? And granted, he took over a little bit from Les Miles, and it was a whole lot better, but that man can coach. And if I think we leave Pruitt alone to coach and don't get on, you know, everybody – get on a high horse and trying to fire a guy, you know, with just 2 years into a program that was left dry by Butch Jones, okay, building bricks instead of recruiting players, I think we'll do better if we can just hold on a little bit. Because I don't think it's going to do any good for everybody to sit on this bandwagon again and try to fire this guy, because who wants to come if they know they're going to, you know, their coach is on the table. Give the guy time, you know?
Well, and it is just one game, but I think especially after the Mississippi State game, I don't think there's really any talk of Jeremy Pruitt being fired.
No.
You're probably talking more long-term.
Prior to the Mississippi State game, that's all you heard from everybody and his brother around here. But, you know, it's a sport, man, and, you know, he doesn't play the game. I played sports. He's not the guy on the field, and you can't get these kids to come out here and play. You know, yeah, he is the coach, and yeah, he should get them up to do their job, but he's not the guy on the field doing it, okay?
That's
so I think really
true.
They just need to give him some time, okay?
Yeah, I think all of us, and we had some hard conversations early on. I remember Andy Staples joined the program when David Ubbin was on from The Athletic, and you know, Andy firmly said, you let this season play out, and you see what he does, and you're number three, and then you make some sort of evaluation. So I think most of the people that are rational thinkers were like, hey, listen, he's going to be here through this season, come heck or high water, and then year three, you have to, you know, show some, you have to put some results out there.
Yeah, Phil, we appreciate
that.
That's
correct. I mean, which one among us is a top 10 in our profession? Okay, you guys are good, but you're probably not the top 10 in the country in sports analysis. Yeah, so
you think Jeremy Pruitt's, you're not wrong there, but Phil, you think Jeremy Pruitt's a top 10 coach?
No way.
No way, not yet, but who knows? Who knows? He was a daggum top 10 defensive coordinator at one time. Okay.
Yeah, not going to argue that.
He ought to be a,
that's not what he is right now.
So he ought to be with the money. If we can get the money and the backing in this city, okay, to put into it like they're trying to make finally, okay, instead of Mike Hamilton doing his level best to kill this program, okay? So give the guy some time. Let him develop a program. It takes a while to do all this. But I just know what's coming. Saturday night from every toothless wonder in the state of Tennessee, he needs to get out of here. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, Phil, we appreciate the call. Thank you.
I don't
think there's that much fire Jeremy Pruitt talk right now.
There really isn't. There really isn't. And there was some scuttlebutt among the national media. You know, is he going to be able to cut it? Do you cut bait after 2 years? And, you know, they got to write what they got to write. But I think everybody pretty much around here, except for the people that just really aren't happy and want to win right now, and I don't blame them, I get it. But nobody was talking about literally firing Jeremy Pruitt after just a couple of games into season two, no matter how disappointing it was.
Well, not nobody, but not I don't think as much as as Phil was maybe letting on to there.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we will come back.
Also, Ed Orgeron was terrible at Ole Miss. Yeah. Like
he's made changes as a coach. He's a better coach now than he was 10 years
absolutely.
Ago.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And he deserves credit for that. It's 12 years ago. I don't think Ole Miss was ready to give him that amount of time and shouldn't. Things went terribly there at Ole Miss with Ed Orgeron as the head coach. We'll come back. Fat Jack joins us next. His thoughts on big games coming up in Tennessee and that huge number against Bama. That's right around the corner with the Midday Sports Minute coming up as well. Sports 180 at Cheers at Chodo today on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Final half hour of Sports 180 on this Friday afternoon. Thank you for being with us. Sports Talk coming up at 3 o'clock as we continue hanging out on the patio at Cheers at Chodo right off Chodo Road. Having a good time this afternoon getting ready for a big football weekend, and somebody who can help you have an even happier football weekend is Fat Jack. FatJackSports.com is his website to check out. He joins us now. Jack, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, Joel. How are things in Knoxville today? You guys doing all right?
Yeah, doing well, and there is, of course, a lot of conversation about Tennessee and Alabama, and Bama's done quite well against Tennessee over the last 12 years. It's a big number this week, 34.5 points, the number Alabama favored over Tennessee. What do you think when you see a number that big in this kind of game?
So you've already turned the page. You're done patting yourself on the back for playing better last week, and you moved on to the big, bad giant that is Alabama. Is that where we are?
Well, I was very reluctant, Jack, and I actually refused to talk about Alabama until yesterday. But, yeah, I was basking in that Mississippi State glow for a few extra days.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, I mean, I think you probably should. The misery that Vols fans have been in since the start of the season, I mean, I think you probably should take a day or two before you turn the page. It's a little bit like, you know, Christmas coming, and then you immediately on Christmas morning say, well, what are we going to do next? So – you know, they definitely played better. And the big number, it's all about motivation. Alabama typically has a pretty good record against teams when they're laying over 30 points. I mean, they cover about 68% of the time when it's that big a number. So that does not bode well for the Vols. But the upside is they're playing better. And so as long as they don't turn the ball over, they can stay in the game. But, I mean, I don't know what to say about – I mean, it's like, you know, a heavyweight champion – fighting me in a fist fight. I mean, I'm probably going to lose and things are probably not going to go well, but you never know when a haymaker might land and I'll send him, you know, to night-night before he's probably ready. So I think that there's a reason to show up and play the game, but look at the month of October overall as a whole when you're finished is probably a better way to approach it.
So, Jack, when you look around the college football world, we're heading into week eight, so we're past the halfway mark in college football. Where do you start the conversation this week? What stands out that maybe we should be paying attention to?
Yeah, October's typically a great month, and so I feel like it's going to be a really, really good weekend, and basketball course starts next week. But a lot of it's about the general public overreacting to what they're seeing on a weekly basis and just assuming that will continue. You know, you look at a team, let's look at Kansas and Texas. You know, it's a Big 12 game. You've got a Kansas team that's been woeful for a long time. Texas coming off a game performance against Oklahoma down in Dallas. But the reality is Texas has half their starting defense out, including a couple of all Big 12 players that are injured. They have a linebacker now that went out. Defensive end is out, Roach, because of targeting for the first half. And Kansas has been a team that if you let them run the ball, they're going to be competitive, and this is that spot. You know, Texas 50th against the run on the year, and that's not because of what OU did to them. I mean, OU put up almost 600 yards of total offense, but you know, OU's not going to kill you on the ground typically. Texas is not stopping a lot of anybody running the ball. So that's a game. That number's open 23, now down to 21.5. Look for Kansas to be game down in Austin in a spot like that. Another game similar to that, where you just look at the teams on names on the front of the jersey and expect them to cover these big numbers, Ohio State, Northwestern, that goes tonight. Northwestern, a 27.5-point favorite, Ohio State on the road, 27.5-point favorite. And Northwestern has been pesky to very good teams. They cover a lot of these big numbers. So look for them to show up and be game at home. Five of the last games in this series have gone over the total. So Northwestern is going to have to score some points. They've been giving up points in this series. But I expect them to be game and be inside that 28-point number. So got to be careful just betting big favorites because they're the better team. You're looking for the better number, the better line. And those are just a couple spots I think you're getting at this weekend.
Let me ask you this, Jack. The last time I went on a two-team parlay, I came up a big loser, so I should have listened to you more. So I'm asking your advice. My parlay that I liked this week, Florida -5 and Boise State -7. Am I on the right track with any of that?
No, I mean, maybe half. I mean, Heather, if you're actually betting, we've been doing this show so long. If you're betting on your own, you need to go outside and jump in the river or jump in the lake or whatever's out there in front of Neyland State. Because if you've learned one thing from me, it's that you're the average gambler. I mean, you are
totally
not gonna win
below average. I'm the basic gambler.
So you're just giving your money away. This is a ridiculous plan. Don't do it. My clients are all winning. I mean, if you sign up, you'll win. It's really that simple. No, listen, Florida's on upset alert. Why is the number 4.5 or 5? I mean, in South Carolina, we're going to put that much stake into what happened last week of South Carolina. The average fan will look at that game, and every one of them will line up and play Florida in that spot. And about 68% of the money is on Florida right now, yet the number keeps coming down. That's because not every dollar is created equal. And South Carolina is going to be game to the end of this, and if they don't turn the ball over more than they – take it away, they're going to probably beat Florida, but definitely probably cover the number. So that's the one that you're off on. The other one, I mean, I don't have a big opinion on the Boise game. So, I mean, 50-50, you never know. But, yeah, you know, last week, Heather,
Jack. Last week I hit mine.
Everybody, you know, the blind squirrel finds an acorn. If you never won – nobody gamble. If they couldn't win on their own, nobody would ever gamble. It'd be guys like me going in, taking money every week and leaving. That doesn't happen. Of course, you're going to win some. But in the NFL alone, last week, the top three games that the general public bet on all lost. I mean, the general public does exactly the same thing. They look at things exactly the same. And so when you look at games like Florida, South Carolina, and say, oh, I love Florida, you're looking at it like the average. You can tell a lot about how good a person is at knowing what to look at by some of the numbers they put out. But last week, Tennessee, Dallas, and Jacksonville were the three most heavily bet games in the NFL. Every one of them went down. So you got to know how to look at things. Or you'll get lucky some. People are going to turn the ball over. But if you want to win consistently, you've got to know how to value the different information as opposed to that, as it relates to that line.
BadJackSports.com. So, Jack, when you look at the upcoming weekend in the NFL, what do you see? What stands out to you in the NFL?
Well, I mean, we've been very, very good in the NFL this year on the whole. And when you go to FatJackSports.com, you can look at all those games. But this is a game lots of big games on key numbers. I mean, we saw that last night with Kansas City hovering around the three, and a lot of games. Key numbers are numbers that are scores put you on those numbers. 3, 4, 7. Those are key numbers. 10. But if you're looking at just a couple of free ones, I like Detroit at home. Minnesota's been a fraud against good teams. Kirk Cousins is 2-8 against teams with a winning record against the number. Basically, he beats up on bad teams and he loses to good teams. And Detroit, although they don't have a winning record, if the officials do their job against Green Bay, they do have a winning record. So I put them in that category. I look for you got some value because Detroit lost last week to Green Bay, but I expect them to beat Minnesota. And then the Sunday night game, Dallas and Philly, guys. Jason Garrett is the most overrated, underperforming head coach in recent history in the NFL. He is absolutely horrible against Denver. The Cowboys under Jason Garrett, visitors are 42-30-2. The Texas State is underdog. You cover 12 more times than you don't. When you're an underdog, period, he's 49-35-2. So when an underdog plays them, they do not perform to the market's expectations almost 60% of the time. And underdogs going to Dallas, they're 15 games over 500 covering the number. He is the worst in the NFL by far in these categories as a head coach. The bottom line, they get the least out of their talent each and every year. I think that continues this week. Dallas, the teams they beat opened the first 3 weeks of the season when they ran up their 3-0 record or combined 3-14 straight up. Those were horrible football teams. Now that they're playing better football teams, they're losing. Everybody's wondering what's going on. Even with the Philly secondary, I think they go into Texas Stadium and win. Play Dallas or play Philly plus the points.
All right, good stuff there. So, Jack, you've taught me two things today if I want to find some winners. One, fade Heather's picks. Number two, go to fatjacksports.com. What can I find if I go there?
Yeah, the problem is with parlays, you're not getting, and this is something you learn when you sign up for the service, you're not getting near the payoff how difficult it is to predict them. So Heather, go 1-1, and she would be losing just juice. Let's say it's $50 player. She'd be losing $5, but instead she's parlaying for $50, and she's losing $50. So parlays are not good unless you're deep into profit, which my clients are on the year. Go to fatjacksports.com, $2.99, everything through Halloween, and you get free basketball with that. So you're going to start the NBA season getting into profit and not paying for that. So $2.99 everything through Halloween, $7.99 everything through the Big Ten SEC Championship weekend. That's about $100 a week to win betting on the games, or add hoops to that for only $200 total. So $9.99, that's about $30 a week or so for basketball selections that will get you into profit. Go to fatjacksports.com, get the top winning selections every client gets, and start winning today.
Another big football weekend coming up, plus NBA and then college starting next week there, Jack.
Great time of year, and free Breeders' Cup plays when you get signed up. Also, a $100 football player that played my recommendations in the Breeders' Cup last year made $3,500 for free just on those free Breeders' Cup plays. So a ton of ways to make money with the service, but you can't do it just guessing on your own. You got to go get signed up at fatjacksports.com.
Fat Jack, we appreciate the time as always. Look forward to your show tonight as well after our high school football coverage, and we'll talk to you again next Friday afternoon. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you then.
All right, guys, get after him. Heather, good luck this weekend. I hope
you get it. You know I don't play.
There you go. Fat Jack joins us every Friday at 2:30 right here on Sports 180.
Yeah, we're always looking for an edge, Fat Jack. Yeah. I like it. He keeps me, he's my reality check.
That he was.
Yeah.
Gonna hit you hard there with your picks.
Yeah.
Can I get another lunch bet with you here in a few minutes?
No. I'm done with that. But right. I am gonna be tracking mine, and if I win,
he's
gonna
hear
say,
about it next Friday.
Ha ha ha! To both of you guys.
There you go. That's what it's about. 50-50. He told you right there. We'll come back. Final segment. Much better chance that you'll feel good about your time and how you spend it if you come down here to Cheers at Chodo, where we have been this afternoon. We'll wrap things up here with a final segment of Sports 180, and then hand things over to Sports Talk at 3 o'clock on FM 99.1. The Sports Animal. Final segment of Sports 180 is here. Sports Talk will take over coming up at 3 o'clock this afternoon. We have had a great time here at Cheers at Chodo. Had a chance to try out the breakfast pizza, keto style right here, cauliflower crust. So good. So good. Loved it. Right here at Cheers at Chodo, right off Chodo Road. Come by land, by sea. Great setup. They have the patio enclosed. Really beautiful weekend, I think, coming up. A lot of nice low 70, mid 70 days coming up. Great spot to hang out tomorrow, especially Cheers at Chodo, where have been this afternoon.
Yeah, and you said it. This heated patio, this is fantastic. They got the nice torches, keep you nice and warm. They got two fire pits. They're going to have live music starting tonight at 7. And they're booking holiday parties right now. So if you've come out to Cheers at Chodo and you're like, oh, I love the lights through the trees. It feels like we're in a treehouse. Let's do our holiday party here. This would be a fantastic place. They got TVs everywhere, so it's like your favorite sports bar, but also on the lake and with really great food. So you're knocking it out of the park, whichever direction you're going.
No doubt about it. Cheers at Chodo. You can follow them on Facebook as well. They update you on what's going on here, including giveaways like with Dripping Springs. So appreciate them being involved right here. Cheers at Chodo. Great time. Always a fun time when we're out here this afternoon. Appreciate the crowd as well in the patio. Keeping us in line.
Yes. We have had some characters
necessary
out here, and I love it. Yeah, it's definitely been fun. Might even go join one of the tables here in about 9 minutes. So if we could just wrap this thing up real quick.
I hope you're a little... there you go. You'll be nicer to them than you were Alabama fan John earlier in the afternoon.
Yeah, definitely. And John knew exactly... Like, why are you feeling sorry for John? He knew what he was doing. You wanted a response. That was your response. I'm tired of the snarkiness. He was totally snarky. It's going to be a great atmosphere, guys. But you're fired up. Yeah, I'm fired up. Let's get this root canal over.
Man, that's tough. So I've not really lifted you up here the last 48 hours as I've
There wasn't any. I mean, if I scratched a winning lotto ticket on my way over here, I'd probably be in a little bit of a better mood. But it's just get through it. And let's get back to the happy times, talking about the South Carolina game on Monday.
I'm getting a percentage of that, right? If you hit the big one?
The big one? Yeah, definitely. I'll take care of you.
That's got to be the ultimate, huh?
Yeah. Baby number two. Hopefully, baby girl ward number two. She can have any dress at Target she wants.
You're pulling for a girl there,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, because I walk through that Target little girl section. I'm like, oh, can we do it again? And then I'm like, get out of here, because everything's just so cute. So cute.
Yeah. That's my focus as well. 25 days, T-minus. All right, let's hit today's power poll.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engine.
Nuclear power pants.
What's up? I'm Kenny Powers.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
I have the power!
With great power comes great responsibility.
Full power, Mr. Scott.
The Power Poll, driven by Ted Russell Ford. Two locations to serve you, Kingston Pike and Parkside Drive.
And just a reminder, we have high school football for you tonight. We will have game day all day coverage tomorrow, and that's going to be all day long. Joel and Eric Kane will get you set up starting at 8 a.m. tomorrow, and then our regular game day all day schedule will take place starting at 11 o'clock. We'll have the locker room, the digest. Sports Talk 2.0 in the afternoon. It's going to be a fun day tomorrow with a later kick. Still plenty of coverage starting at 8 a.m. and then Vol Network coverage at 7:30, 9 o'clock Eastern Time kick between Tennessee and Alabama. The Power Poll today, driven by Ted Russell Ford. Five things to watch this upcoming weekend. A lot of things going on in the sports world. I'm sticking to football, American football here, as Houston and Indy. That's a big one there AFC South. The Colts were off last weekend. Houston is building a little momentum here. Deshaun Watson is playing at such a high level. And Titans, things haven't gone as great recently. Jaguars, we'll see. So it looks like a Houston-Indy battle right now for the AFC South. Pay attention to that one. Out west tomorrow, 3:30, Oregon at Washington. That's a good one there in the Pac-12. We'll see what happens between those two sides. Could be a close one, small point spread there with Oregon on the road. Slight favorite, I think, in the 2.5-point range. I have Seattle and Baltimore number three. You've got Russell Wilson playing at an MVP level at quarterback for the Seahawks, and then Lamar Jackson's been a lot of fun to watch for those Ravens as well. So that's number three on my list. Michigan-Penn State number two. Harbaugh needs this one, doesn't he?
Oh, he needs it, but guess what he's not going to get?
It?
He's not going to get it. Yeah, I'm going James Franklin on this one.
Yeah, Penn State, pretty big favorite there. Two-score favorite against Michigan, and then... I'm going with your boys, Cowboys and Eagles, number one Sunday night. We get a big battle between the NFC East rivals, and I'm just guessing that Dallas and Philly going to produce some ratings. So congrats in advance to NBC on Sunday night. Top five things to watch this weekend. Heather Harrington.
All right, I'm going to go with a little, can I get a little honorable mention love for you, Josh Ward?
Sure.
How about this one? I know it's going to be on your YouTube TV DVR, Unlimited Cloud. Lakers Golden State Warriors.
Come on,
that's coming on tonight, 10:30. Yeah, there you go. Oh, we get a shout out from Ginger.
Like yeah. How about me not mentioning Coby White going off last night for the Bulls, setting up a big opener Wednesday against the Hornets. I didn't even mention it on the show today. I'm proud of myself.
I think that's oversight right
there.
Yeah,
I didn't mention it.
So to begin my list, I am going to put number five, the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles. Number four, I'm going to go with Bama and the Vols. It can't be number one because it just can't, but we're all going to be watching it.
Okay.
Number three is going to be the game that should be being played at 9 p.m. and us at 3:30, but it's actually reverse, Oregon-Washington, like you said. I'm looking forward to actually seeing a Pac-12 game in the middle of the day, so that'll be good.
Yeah, it's early out there, 12:30 in the afternoon out on the West Coast.
Yeah, they should really start that 9 a.m. thing. I'm going to go Florida-South Carolina since that's part of my parlay. I want to see how the Gamecocks react to beating Georgia, and I really just want Florida to whip them.
Yeah, I am intrigued by that one, yeah.
Yeah, I want to see that. And then the ALCS tonight. Like, does it extend? You know, do the Yankees get the win tonight with Verlander on the mound? Probably not, so we might know our World Series this evening.
Well, that series is still going on.
It is.
Felt like it was over last night. Yankees are going to roll now. We'll see. Hate to see the injury for CC Sabathia. That might be it for him.
Yeah, I think he's done.
Walking off last night. So do hate to see that. And Florida, by the way, did I catch you saying something along the lines of you want to see Florida roll on them tomorrow?
Yeah, I do.
I've never heard you say those words.
I know, right? It's we're just stuck between it. We just need South Carolina to get a whooping so that they'll be primed for the picking next week.
The Power Poll driven by Ted Russell Ford. Five things to watch this upcoming weekend. Big weekend and great time to run by Ted Russell Ford. Kingston Pike and Parkside Drive. Find them online as well, tedrussellford.net. I'm driving my car every day from Ted Russell Ford Lincoln. So we have sports talk coming up. Busy afternoon. A lot of coverage getting you ready for Tennessee and Alabama and the entire football weekend. Do you think this is the week that I blow it in the picks panel? I've got
you got a nice lead on Jimmy Himes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, I think
pick
you're going
to roll. 5-6. I've got a 2-game lead. I'm going to blow it at some point. I just wonder when.
Well, there would have to be a lot of upsets happen, in my opinion. Like, just things come out of nowhere. Because I'm assuming that y'all picked the Georgia game last week, and all y'all took Georgia.
Yeah, I missed that one, but yeah. I was not the only one.
Exactly. So, that's going to be hard to tell. But, no, I think if you survive the early part of the season when more, like, crazy things can happen and you have a lead, I think you're good. Right?
Yeah. No, I'll blow it. Sports Talk's coming up next. Big thanks to Cheers at Chota for having us out today. This place is awesome. Having a good time here on the patio.
Yeah, brunch starts tomorrow. So if you want brunch this weekend, Cheers at Chota has you covered, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's a heated enclosed patio. They got the fire pits on the upper level. All kinds of great stuff going on. Drink specials. They're going to have live music tonight at 7. So make sure you check out Cheers at Chota.
Thanks, everybody, for hanging out here on the patio with us. Thanks to Jay Leifer right here. Great job, Joel, back at the studio. Sports Talk's next. Have a great weekend. This is FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.